Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Rob. A beautiful song service this morning. And for all the volunteers, we've had a great start to our transition into having our kids come at 9:45. It's just been a wonderful time. And just thank you so much for being here today. We are going to finish up our look at Daniel today. We're going to do chapter 12. We're going to run through 11 real quick. But if you'll remember, last week in Daniel chapter 10, we talked about how that Daniel began to fast and he began to pray for the nation of Israel. And it took 21 days for the angel to get from heaven to earth to speak to Daniel because he was opposed by demonic forces. And we talked about how that our prayer life affects the spiritual realm. It does not control the spiritual realm, but it affects the spiritual realm. And that when we pray and we fast and we go to our Heavenly Father, He then works on our behalf. And in some way, somehow, it affects what goes on in the spiritual world. And then that in turn affects what goes on in our lives. And we talked about the importance of prayer and the importance of times of fasting and praying for the things in our life. And we closed last week with looking in Ephesians 6, talking about our weapons of our spiritual warfare, right? The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, our feet shod with the gospel of the peace as we walk out into the world. Because we are in a spiritual battle in this world. And we will be until the day where Jesus comes back and puts an end to all of this sinfulness. And we talked about how we need to be battle ready in this world because your adversary, Satan, that we talked about this morning in our group, he walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants you. If you're a Christian, you do not have to fear him. You know why? Because we've already found victory in Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and paid for the sins of the world, for those that put their faith and trust in Jesus, we now have the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, dwelling within us so that we can withstand these spiritual battles. But we have to do our part to be prepared. But the victory has already been won. We're going to start in Acts chapter 1 today. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus has been crucified already, he's resurrected, and now it's the time for his ascension. And he's getting ready to depart from this world, and he's meeting with his apostles. And the scriptures tell us that in being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you get the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we know that occurred on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down, filled the apostles. They began to preach. All those that were saved that day were filled with the Holy Spirit. And everyone who has been saved since then is now filled with the Holy Spirit. It began the church age. And he says, I want you to wait until that happens. He goes, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So he just said, I want you guys to wait in Jerusalem until you get the Holy Spirit, which they'd already talked about. And then their question is, all right, Jesus, when are you going to set up your kingdom? When are you coming back? And when are you going to just get rid of all this foolishness and set up your kingdom? That was the thing that was on their heart, and that was the thing on their mind. Well, Jesus said to them, he goes, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority. Basically, he said, don't worry about that. Only God knows when Jesus is coming back. He says, you're not to worry about those things. You just simply need to do what I've asked of you to do in the meantime and while you wait. We need to be aware that Jesus is coming back, but we don't need to be so focused on it that that's all we're doing. And if you hear a preacher predicting when Jesus is coming back, run. Because nobody knows. God has said nobody knows. I grew up in a time in the 70s and 80s where I heard lots of preachers predicting that in 1981 the rapture was going to occur. And then 1981 occurred and the rapture didn't occur. And then, well, it was 1988. And then all of this foolishness. I'm like, and I was a teenager, and I'm going, wait a minute, I think I remember somewhere where the Bible said nobody knows. So why am I being forced to listen to this preacher? But that's a whole other subject. Let's not go down that road. But you and I know that Jesus is coming back, but we don't know when he's coming back. Well, Jesus continued, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That's our instructions while we wait for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, to be witnesses to him for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they're watching him go, and I don't blame them, I'd have been staring too. I cannot imagine what an amazing sight that must have been. And as they're watching him go, it says, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels who appeared as a man, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven." So they're sitting there and they're staring and they're looking at the sky and wondering, wow. Angels come down and they go, "What are you guys doing? Get to work. He gave you instructions, now it's time to go to work." And what is the work? Share the gospel, right? Make disciples, which is what we seek to do here. And I'm reminded, this is our theme verse for the book of Daniel as we close, that moreover, it's required in stewards, that's you and I, that's Christians, that's followers of Jesus Christ, that one be found faithful. Jesus is coming back someday. He has told us, here's the work, here's the instructions, and I want you to be faithful to doing the things that I told you to do before I left. Don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about when I'm coming back. I'll come back when God tells me to. You just worry about being faithful to carry the gospel to the lost and dying world. Well, very early in Jesus' ministry, he preached a very famous sermon that we call the Sermon on the... All right, very good. Sermon on the Mount. And when he comes to the end of that sermon, he says this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," or these teachings, these instructions, "and what? Does them." Whoever hears and does, not hearers only. James says, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word, right? "If you hear these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall." Why? "For it was founded on the rock." Jesus said, if you will listen to my instructions, and if you will put them into practice, and if you will follow them, you will be like a man who's built his house on the rock, and it will be firm, and it will be secure, and it will be stable, and it will be able to withstand the storms. And everybody in this room has been through a storm in your life at one time or another, have you not? We have all gone through storms. Some of us are about to head into a storm. Maybe we don't even know about it. Some of you might be right in the middle of a storm at this very moment. But Jesus said, if you'll just do what I ask of you to do, you'll be like that man who's built his house on a firm foundation, and you'll make it through. I remember when we first moved here 6 years ago, it'll be 6 years in October, we were living in Tullahoma in a tiny little apartment about as big as this stage, it felt like. It was You know, coming from a big house to a little apartment, it was cramped, but that's okay. And while we were living there, we had bought some land up just not far from here. Many of you know where I live. It wasn't a house yet. It was land, and it was a foundation. That's all they had. And I would come up here, and I would work at the church, and then I'd go hang out and watch them build my house. And I'd talk to the people and stuff and got to know them. And I'm watching, and first, you know, the studs are going up and all the wood's going up, and then there's the plumbing going in, electrical stuff, and it was just ugly. Right? It's just wood and studs and stuff hanging out all over the place, and it wasn't very pretty. And then eventually, about 6 months later, they finally putting up drywall, putting up the pretty bricks over the concrete block, right? And they started putting all the pretty stuff up and started making it look good. But my friend, if my house only had the stuff that looked good, it wouldn't last, would it? It would not withstand some of the storms that we've had. It's the stuff that you can't see. It's the structure. It's the foundation that makes it strong and makes it sturdy. And as I began to preach through the series of Daniel, God led me into Daniel. And I'm thinking, well, can I just preach the first half and kind of skip the second half? God's like, no, when I say Daniel, I mean Daniel, right? Because the first half's the fun stuff of Daniel, right? It's, what is it, the statue. It's the handwriting on the wall. It's Daniel in the lion's den, right? The three men in the fiery furnace. I almost said wise men in the fiery furnace. I don't know. But the fire, right? All of the Sunday school stories, that those are the fun things. And then you get to the last half of Daniel, and you're like, whoo, that's a whole lot of stuff. I had some pastor friends, what are you preaching? I said, Daniel, they go, are you crazy? You're a brave man. I said, look, I got a great church. I got a church that wants to learn the Word of God. You know, sometimes the struggle through some of the hard stuff, that's the structure inside the pretty that holds us and makes us strong. And this is why when our mascot, where does our mascot stand on? It stands on the Word of God, in case you can't see it, right? It is the Word of God, because Jesus said, if you hear and do, you'll be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And so now Jesus has left, but he's coming back someday. And as we've looked in this book of Daniel so far, we know that when he comes back, it's not going to be good. And last week when we looked in chapter 10 and we saw the battles of the angels and we saw them setting up the story of the visions that are about to come in chapter 11, the events in chapter 11 take place 400 years into Daniel's future. And verses 2 through 35 describe the battles that take place there. And when you read about the king of the north and the king of the south, just so you know real quick, that's in relationship to Israel. The kings of the south are the Egyptians and the Ptolemies. The kings of the north are the Syrians or the Seleucids. And he talks about that period where Greece overcomes Persia. And then there's these battles of the Syrians and the Egyptians. And Israel's caught in the middle of all this. And then finally Greece takes over. And we've already talked about Antiochus Epiphanes, who's at the end of the Grecian period. And it predicts all of this stuff in great detail. And I'll encourage you to read that. And if you're like me and you're a history buff, go read about the Ptolemies and the Seleucids. You know, go, wow. That's why so many skeptics of the Bible, they'll say, well, Daniel could not have been written when they say it was written, because of the accuracy of the detail that it had predicted 400 years in advance. But my friend, it is true, and it was written when God said it was written, because God knows the beginning from the end. Predicting the future is no big deal for him. And he gave it to us so that we can be certain that the things that he's telling us about our future are true, and you don't have to worry. Build your house on the rock of Jesus Christ and you can stand firm. Well, then in verse 36 from Daniel 11, it shifts from that near fulfillment in the Old Testament of the prophecies to the far fulfillment of Daniel, which takes place in our future. And it also concerns the nation of Israel. And it talks about the 70th week of Daniel, which is what we call the tribulation. And you see Book of Revelation for more details on that. And if you come at 5 o'clock on Sunday nights, you'll get more details on that 70th week of Daniel. And during that time is when, halfway through that 7-year period, the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel and begins to persecute Israel, set himself and claim to be God, and puts an end to the sacrifices and offerings of the nation of Israel. And it's a time of terrible and great trouble. And in chapter 12 starts like this. At that time, meaning at the time when the Antichrist comes and says, I am now God, you will worship me and you will not worship that false god of yours. That's what the Antichrist says. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Michael is an archangel who is given kind of charge over the nation of Israel. It says there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even until that time. He says there's coming a day where there's going to be times like you have never seen in your life. No matter how bad you think this world is right now, it's going to get way, way worse. Now, that's not a very encouraging and uplifting sermon, is it? But it is the truth. Now, I don't believe the Christians are going to face that. But there's coming this great trouble. There's coming this great time. And we need to understand and pay attention and be aware that regardless of what you think about today's news, in the future, when the Antichrist rules the earth, it's going to be way, way worse. But, and at that time, talking about the same time period, your people, that's the nation of Israel, shall be delivered. God's going to protect them. Everyone who is found written in the book. And we're going to come back to that here in just a few moments. There's going to be times of great trouble, but God's going to protect the nation of Israel and especially those who are written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust, that's the dead, sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt, that the dead are going to rise again someday and they're going to face judgment. Look at this. Those who are what? The wise man built what? His house on? Okay. So those who are wise, what are we going to do? We're going to shine like the brightness of the firmament. That's the heavens. And those who turn many to righteous, in other words, those who help lead people to Jesus, like the stars forever and ever. The wise are going to shine like the stars. But who are the wise? Those who have built their life on who? The wise man builds his house on the rock. The rock is Christ Jesus. And if you've built your rock, you've built your foundation on Jesus, you can make it through any storm of life. And you can look forward to the day where he comes back to take us home. Then he says this, Gabriel says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. When he says shut up the words and seal the book, he means write all of this down and keep it safe so that other people can read it. Keep these words that I've given you safe, Daniel, so other people can read it all the way till the end of time. And guess what? Who's reading it now? We are. Thousands of years later, we're still reading the writings of Daniel, and we are still looking for those end times. So he says, seal that up. And he goes, at that time, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. The time of the end is going to be a time with lots of knowledge, but with little learning and wisdom. Does that sound familiar? My friend, wisdom is found in a relationship with Jesus. There's going to be a time where there's lots of learning. Information's going to be running all over the place. People are going to be running around looking for information to try to find the answers of life, but they're not going to learn much. We live in such a world. We have so many people running to and fro, trying to make as much money as they possibly can because they think that's what's going to give them peace. We have people running to and fro from sports events or to bars and all over the way. They're running around this world looking for the answers of life, only they're looking in all the wrong places. Their knowledge is increasing. Most of you, if not all of you, got this little computer that you walk around with all the time, and it just happens to have a phone in it. Correct? Hardly any of you use the phone part of that computer. You use the text part. I'm guilty as well. We like the text. I think the younger folks like the TikTok or Instagram or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't get on there. What? Oh, she's drawing a TikTok. Okay. But right, we got all the knowledge. You want to go read about the Seleucids and the Ptolemies? You can pull it right up here on your phone and read it right alongside your Bible. You want to know what Plato had to say about philosophy? You can pull that right up. You want to know what the score of the baseball game was last night? Pull it right up on your phone. You want to know how long your preacher's going to preach Sunday morning? Can't find that on your phone, sorry. All of the information you could ever want, more than you could ever discover, is right there. And it's running all over the world, is it not? But sadly, so many people in this world are looking for answers in all the wrong places. Where do you find the answers? In Jesus Christ, in the Word of God. Victory is found in Jesus, and the wise man builds his house on the rock. It is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others on this riverbank. And the other on that riverbank. So he sees two more angels appear. One's on this side of the river, one's on that side of the river. Gabriel's been floating above the river this whole time. And one says to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? In other words, how long is this tribulation, this great tribulation that we call it, how long is it going to take place? Well, then I heard the man's clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever. And I said, God told me to tell you this. So this is God's word. And if this is God's word, that means it's going to come true, right? Because God's word is eternal and God cannot lie. Because it's going to be for a time, times, and half a time. That's a 3.5 years. So this great tribulation period is going to last for 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people, that's Israel, when the power of Israel has been completely shattered, when they're just exhausted, they're wiped out, they don't think they can make it any further, it says all these things will be finished. There's going to be a 3.5 year period called the Great Tribulation. Israel will be under unprecedented amount of persecution. As bad as Israel has had it down through the centuries, and they've had it worse than any other nation in the world, as bad as it's been for them in the past, it's going to be even worse when the Antichrist rules and reigns on this earth. But the good news is, the whole world experiencing God's wrath, but the good news is many will be saved. Because Daniel says this, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall the end of these things be? In other words, Daniel heard what he said. He's been writing all of this down, and he goes, I have no idea what we're talking about. You ever been that way with the Bible? If you haven't, you need to read more of your Bible. Because we've all been there. He's reading, he's like, I don't understand what I'm writing down. I don't understand what this means. I don't get it. Well, the angel says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. In other words, the angel's like, don't worry about it. Just write down what I told you to write down. You'll figure it out later and seal it up and preserve it. So Daniel's confused. He doesn't quite understand all this. And Daniel says, it's not for you to worry about, just like it's not for you and I to worry about when Jesus is coming back. But we just know that it is. And at the end times, we'll figure it out. And then the angel says this, many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. That many people, especially the Jewish people, will be saved during the tribulation period. Sadly, there will be many that never respond to the call of God. That even in this great time of tribulation where God is pouring out His wrath on the earth, where angels are preaching and proclaiming, where signs and wonders are being done, there will still be people that say, I don't want any part of that. And that is heartbreaking. But there will be many, many, many saved during the tribulation. Now you and I don't know who it is that will never be saved. We cannot know. I know you probably have people in your life and you're thinking, they're never going to get it. They're never going to understand. They're going to be like the wicked that will never quite get it. But you just don't know. Keep praying for those folks. I can tell you many of stories, people saved in their 60s and their 70s. Don't quit praying. We've got 60-something names on our salvation board that we need to continue to pray for. Because you just never know when they will be saved. But the Bible does declare that even in the tribulation, some people will not pay attention. And sometimes you need to walk away and just simply say, I'll pray for that person. Because you can't argue or debate anybody into heaven, by the way. And from that time, the angel continues, from that time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination, his desolation, is set up, from the time the Antichrist comes and sets himself up as God, there's going to be 1,290 days, or roughly 3.5 years. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. So there's going to be a 45-day gap between the end of the tribulation and the beginning of the millennium. I think during that time is when Jesus will be setting up his government here on the earth. And he says, just blessed is the person that makes it to the beginning of the millennium. And then he closes with this, Daniel, but you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest. In other words, you're going to pass away. And will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Daniel was over 80 years old, and it is shortly after he finishes the book of Daniel that he passes away. And the angel says, go rest, Daniel, and just wait, because at the end of the days, you're going to rise again, and you're going to receive your inheritance. There is a resurrection coming for all men. There is coming an end of days for all of us. Your end of days might be before Jesus comes back and we have to face death And we all know that that comes for all of us. We've all been to enough funerals to know. The end of days might come, and Jesus comes back, and we're still alive, and we will see all this and never face a death in these bodies. But there is coming an end of days one way or another for every single person. There is no getting around it. And the question is your name written in the book when it comes to the end of days? Because remember, early in chapter 12, it said, those whose names were written in the book. In Revelation chapter 20, John says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. God created the heavens and the earth, and then at the end, he's going to just do away with the heavens and the earth. And as he's seated on his throne, he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. That all of us will come to an end of days. And all of us will stand before God. And he's going to open the book. If your name is found written in the book of life, hallelujah. You will not stand and be judged by our Heavenly Father for your sins, because your sins have been paid for on the cross. But you will stand before Jesus and give an account for the works that you've done for his kingdom. He said, I'm going away. I got work for you to do until I come back. You'll stand and answer to Jesus for that if your name is in the book of life. But if your name is not written in the book of life, another set of books will be opened. And it will be recorded what you said, what you did, how you treated people. And then you will pay for all eternity for the sins you committed in this world because you rejected the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said? A wise man who built his houses on the rock. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And who is that? That is Jesus. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're not here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are facing the end of days in which you will stand before God and you will have to give an account for your sins. But the good news is that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, confess that you are a sinner, ask him to be your Savior, that he will save you and all your sins will be forgiven. And when you stand before God, Jesus will stand there with you and he will say, come on into my house. But in the meantime, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation occurs when you confess your sins and ask Jesus to come into your life and commit yourself to him. There is coming an end of days for all of us. But my friend, there is victory found in Jesus Christ and in him alone. He said in John 14:6, we should know this verse by now, right? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so as Rob comes, as we prepare to close, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. A wise man remains faithful to following the teachings of Jesus, and it starts with accepting him as your Savior. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that today is the day. I want to have a couple men and a couple ladies come up front when we begin our invitation, and they'll be here for the sole purpose of being able to talk to anyone that would like to know what it means to be saved. But if you're here today and you're already a Christian, God's asked you to be faithful, to serve him faithfully, to build the kingdom of God, which is eternal, rather than your own kingdom. And maybe you've been drifting lately. And maybe you've not been faithful. You've been kind of letting things slide. Well, one day you will stand before your Savior and give an account of how you lived this life. I pray that when you stand before him, that you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Father in heaven, I pray that you will bless the rest of our time together. I pray that there's one here that doesn't know you, that today is the day. I pray that folks will get right with you, get right with each other. I pray that we will continue to lift your holy name as we close. All God's people said, amen. Would you stand with heads bowed as Rob sings? If you need to come forward, you come forward. I'm going to ask a couple of our men to come and stand here. Be ready if somebody has a question.
Hi, and thank you for watching. I trust that the sermon blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you to take your next step of faith. Please click the like and share button on our YouTube page. And if you're in the area, come visit us. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. We would love to see you. I believe you will find us to be a warm and welcoming people. We just want to love God and love people. And check out our website, summitvillechurch.org. That's summitvillechurch.org. Over there, you can learn more about us. You can check out past sermons. You can also check out future events and things that we have coming up. And we also have a give button. And would you pray about giving to our ministry so we can continue to expand and grow so we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Summitville First Baptist Church exists to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. God bless you and have a great day.